I want to talk to us today about releasing heaven, and I'm excited about this message. It's got some elements in it from the past, but there are some things that I think we need to say and do during this time when we're all, you know, kind of social distancing and doing all the stuff that we're doing. There's some things that we as Christians can do with our family when we are close to people, and we can do, you know, via social media where we're not. I do believe that we can release a lot more heaven than we think during this time, and I think some people need some heaven right now. I don't know about you. There's a lot of people who seem to be going through a lot of hell on earth. So turn to Ezekiel. Well, you know what? Don't turn to Ezekiel unless you've got the Message Bible, because I'm using the Message Bible to start the first thing out. You can turn there if you want and see how much different the Message Bible is from the others. Like, well, what are you doing? I'm going to use a couple of different Bible versions today, but I'm going to read from Ezekiel 48. Before I get there, though, there was a man that passed away, and actually two guys, and they showed up at the pearly gates together, and Peter greeted them. One was a minister, and the other one was a politician. And when they got there, he says, come on, I'll show you your room assignments. And he takes them, you know, and he says, now, pastor, for you, here are the keys to one of our best efficiency units. It's got TV and fridge and the microwave and all the good stuff, you know, and you'll be very comfortable here. And he goes, why, thank you. And then he turns to the politician. He says, and for you, sir, here are the keys to the best suite we have. Hands him the keys. And the minister looks and he's like, you know, Peter, I served you all the days of my life. You know, I did everything I was supposed to do. And he goes, oh, yeah, you did great. He goes, well, but I'm getting the efficiency, you know, room, and he's getting the best suite that you have to offer. And he says, well, sir, he said, you got to understand. He says, ministers here are a dime a dozen, but this is the first politician we've ever had. Well, I was thinking, with all that's going on, we're all hearing all this, you know, rabble back and forth and things, and people are frustrated with each other, and some of it's pouring out on Facebook, and some of it's pouring out in the news, and, you know, and listen, people, when people are scared, they get angry. I mean, in the book that I wrote, you know, I talk about anger and fear. Like, not all fear is based in anger, but there is a lot of fear that's based in, or anger, excuse me, that's based in fear. When people get afraid, they get snippy, they get bitey, you know, and it's like all of us have probably experienced this. You've had someone, you're driving, you slam on your brakes because they pull out, and the adrenaline rushes up, and you're a little bit, what are you doing? You know, a little bit of road rage. That's not uncommon. So, you know, we're in a time when people are a little bit touchy. And the longer this goes on, it's not going to get any better. So those of us who love God and believe, we need to release some light and love and some things in. And I just want to bring a little heaven to earth. So here in Ezekiel, we actually read about heaven. Starting in verse 30, it says, these are the gates of the city. On the north side, which is 2,250 yards long, the gates of the city were named after the tribes of Israel. Three gates, Reuben and Judah and Levi. And on the east side, measuring 2,250 yards, three gates, Joseph and Benjamin and Dan. And on the south side, measuring 2,250, Simeon, Issachar, and Zebulun. And on the west side, measuring 2,250, three gates, Gad, Asher, and Naphtali. Four sides of the city measure a total of nearly 6 miles. And from now on, the name of the city will be Yahweh Shammah, God is there. Or some versions say, God is present. Some of you maybe heard Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. That's something that it's one of the, there's seven hyphenated names in the Hebrew. And I've taught on all seven before. I've done a message and just gone over them all. But today I want to talk a little bit about Yahweh Shammah, or Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. And let's just ask this real quick. We all know a little bit about heaven. There's a handful of people here, so you can help me with this today. What do you know about heaven? What things are you expecting about heaven? Anybody? Streets are gold. Yeah, everybody talks about that. I saw a joke. I've told this one before. A man actually wanted, you know, he was told by an angel he was going to go to heaven, and he says, but I've got so much here on earth that I want. And the angel said, well, yeah, but you can't take it with you. And he goes, oh, please just let me have one suitcase. And the angel talked to God, and God said that'd be okay. And so the man packed a suitcase full of gold. And he gets to heaven, and Peter says, what's in the suitcase? And he says, well, I can have it. He says, I know what's in there. And he opens it up, and it's full of gold. And he goes, you brought pavement? What? So we know the streets are gold. What else do we know about heaven? We get new bodies. That's going to be pretty cool. What else do we know about heaven? Well, we see all those who have gone before. Joy. What about the physical aspects of heaven? What do you know about it? Gates of pearl. The pearly gates. We talked about that. You know, there's things that we know about heaven. We have expectations of what it'll look like. Let me just read a little bit more about heaven to you from Revelation. It's interesting. We've got the Old Testament and in the New Testament, Revelation chapter 21, starting with verse 10, says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of very precious jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. We just read about that, didn't we? Okay. There were three gates on the east and three on the north and three on the south and three on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and its walls. And the city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length. Who knows what that is? We don't use that measurement. And as wide as it and as high as it is long. And the angel measured the wall using human measurement, and it was 144 cubits thick. I do know that a cubit is supposed to be from your elbow to the end of your finger. And that's that was how they measured it. Of course, you know, some people have longer, but it was an approximate measure. Does that say 1,500 miles? Yeah. It's going to be a big place. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. So it's like a big jewelry store. I mean, it's there's a lot of value in the city of the New Jerusalem. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl, pearly gates. Lisa mentioned that earlier when I was asking what it had. And the great street was gold, as pure as transparent glass. I never have seen transparent glass gold, but that must be pretty pure. That's pretty amazing to think about. I did not see the temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor to it. Interesting thought, by the way. There are going to be kings that bring something to the city, which means they are outside the city. There's going to be something else going on, because this city is coming down to earth. So it's a city that comes down to earth, but earth will still exist. And something else is going on. There's a lot that we don't understand. And the Bible hasn't told us everything that is to come. Like, we don't have the details. I had to laugh, because I know a lot of the jokes about heaven. If you look up jokes about heaven, which I did, you know, I just wanted to find a good heaven joke. That's why I started out with that first one. It usually says something about people playing harps and singing. I don't think it's going to be like that at all. I don't think that's the way it's going to look. Anyway, the nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor to it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought to it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So, how many of you think we're going to spend eternity in this city? Yeah, That's the plan, right? That's why we seek after God, and we love him, but we want to be with him, and he's going to be in this city. He's going to be the light of this city. This is where we want to be. So do you realize you don't want to go to heaven? You're like, what? Wait, what do you? You don't want to go to heaven. You want to go to the New Jerusalem, and the New Jerusalem came down out of heaven. You don't want to spend eternity in heaven. You want to spend eternity in the New Jerusalem. And the New Jerusalem will be where? What? You're going to have to spend eternity here? That's not what I was planning. Yeah, up is near Cedar Point. I bet you they got better coasters there than Cedar Point. I'm just saying. So here's the thing. I don't think we sometimes, we have these things that we say, you know, I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Well, if you die, yeah, I think wherever he is right now, that's where you're going to go. But you got to remember that eternity isn't going to be somewhere else. It's going to be right here. We have this thing on the wall up here on earth as it is in heaven. Actually, that's God's plan. His plan is not for heaven to stay in heaven, but is to bring heaven down to earth. And we have to remember that sometimes, and I've said this kind of before in different ways, but I wanted to say it again today. In the middle of all that we're experiencing right now with this, you know, hell on earth for some people, literally, they need heaven on earth, don't they? They need it. And Jesus came and he proclaimed, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, meaning it's within reach. So the real goal of Christianity is not to get you into heaven, but rather to get heaven into you. And sometimes that's not how we're doing it. That's not how we're thinking of it. Forgive me. I don't think anybody in the room today has said this. It's possible on a Sunday morning, if we had everybody here, somebody would have said this, but I haven't heard any of you say this. I just can't wait to go to heaven and be with Jesus. Well, I get it. But I'm not waiting to go to heaven to be with Jesus. I'm trying to be with Jesus now. I'm trying to get as much of heaven into me now as I can, because I want to bring heaven to earth, and I want to be part of bringing to heaven to earth, and I want to be heaven on earth for some other people. And so it becomes my goal to get heaven, more of heaven into me before I die, not die so I can get more of heaven. I sometimes feel like we need to be careful with that, because it smacks of a little selfishness. You know, Paul said this funny thing. He says, I've been trying to figure out whether I should stay with you or go to be with God. He says, going to be with him would be really good, but I think it's better that I stay with you right now. He literally says that in one of his letters. So the more heaven that I have in me, the more like Jesus I become. And the more like Jesus I become, the more I will demonstrate heaven in the earth. My goal isn't just to get my ticket stamped, but my goal is to demonstrate Jesus in the earth. Why? So other people will see Jesus. So other people will see on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we've got this scripture that I use all the time here at Bethel Defiance. And it's really interesting. I've had some people say, are you guys connected with those people out in Reading? Yeah. You know, well, and they ask a lot of questions. Well, yeah, we are kind of connected with them. But I'm going to tell you, the number one scripture that I hear in the church in Reading repeated a lot that they talk about is an Isaiah scripture, Isaiah 60, and they talk about that. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And that's kind of a key verse for that house. For years, before we even called this church Bethel, I've talked about Genesis 28. And I'm going to read from it again. And I have many times. I know at least twice last year I used this text. And it's the place where the name Bethel comes from in the scripture. So if I'm repeating myself, forgive me, but I'm trying to get to another point today. So Genesis chapter 28, verse 10, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. And when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on earth with its top reaching heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. By the way, do you any of you remember, I was a Methodist kid growing up, do you remember the little, we are climbing, Jacob's ladder, we are climbing Jacob's ladder. It was actually a spiritual. It had come out of the slave culture, and they sang that. I always thought that was interesting because actually it doesn't say we're climbing Jacob's ladder in the scripture. But at the same time, I don't know. Maybe we need to be making ascending and descending experiences before God, connecting with God. And if that's what this is really talking about, it's a value. Anyway, there, verse 13, there above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out from west to east, to north and south, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I have done all that I have promised you. When Jacob woke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord was in this place, and I did not know it. And then it says later, he named the place Bethel. House of God. That's what God wants each of us to be, a house of God. He wants each of us to experience his house, but he wants us to become his house. And we've talked about this a lot. So Jacob's fleeing from his brother Esau, don't forget this too, and his focus was on his situation. If his brother catches him, he's a dead man. So he was very focused on his situation. And there are times when it's hard for us not to just focus on our situation, on what's going on around us, on what we're experiencing. I get that. And so there are times when we need to recognize God's presence, as Jacob did because of the dream that he had. He recognized God's presence. God's here, and I didn't notice. I wasn't thinking about it. I think sometimes we need to refocus on what God has said. And so I want to read you some things that God has said, and I want to help us, and I want to encourage us to refocus ourselves so that we can help others refocus. Have you run into any people that are just a little on the panicked side? They're just kind of like, they don't know what to do. So I think sometimes the best thing we can do is make sure that we're focused right, and then we can share that. It can kind of ooze out of us. Matthew 18, verse 20 says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. I'm so glad that we can kind of gather like we are this morning. We're sitting far apart, but we're kind of gathered. And there are people that are watching right now, and they're gathered with us too. Hey, glad you're with us. Well, somebody says, you know, it's not like being there. Well, it's not bad. His presence is here right now, and it's been here with us since we started gathering. Well, actually, it was with us before we started gathering. And what about those who aren't gathered? Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 4. He told them that he could be with them in spirit, even though he wasn't with them in the natural. Not only are you with us in spirit, Facebook, but you're with us on Facebook, which is more than Paul had. You know, we are gathered together. We're part of each other's lives. And as we're focused in together, I feel like the Spirit of the Lord can rise up in us, and he can rise up in our midst, and he can make us more aware again. It's not that he wasn't there before, but we're thinking about it. We're refocusing ourselves, and it's a big deal. In John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, it says, Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And then a few verses later, in verse 23, Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home in him. Bethel, we are the house of God. We are the house of God when we're together, but we're still the house of God when we're not together in the same place. And we can be with each other in the spirit, and we should be aware that things can happen in the spirit that maybe won't even never happen in the natural. Chapter 16, verse 7, in that same conversation Jesus is having with his disciples, And he just said those first two things. And as part of that same conversation, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him." Are you watching me live on Facebook? Is that what you're doing? Sometimes you go to your Bible app and it starts talking to you. How many of you have noticed those little commercials pop up? You are forgiven. All right, so they couldn't hear that here anyway. But it was just funny. I had to make fun of it. You know, it's like, how did I do it? It just happens. And if you weren't on your Bible app, I still forgive you. But anyway, his presence, heaven, if you will, is in each of us in a way that the disciples at this point still could not understand because they were walking on the earth with him. And so he's talking to them. A lot of what Jesus said to the disciples, you know, you're like, I don't know what he's talking about. He says something about he's going to die and then he's going to raise from the dead. I wonder what that means. I don't know. It's probably something to do with that, you know, drink my blood thing. We know he doesn't really want to do that, but now people all think he's some kind of, I don't know, weird guy, you know, likes to eat people. I mean, you know, there were a lot of people when Jesus said things, they were like taking it literally. They couldn't get the symbolism. They didn't know what he was going to do. And then there were things that he said that were literal and they thought they had to be symbolism because it didn't make sense. His disciples didn't know what was coming. They didn't know about this Holy Spirit thing. They were a little weirded out by a lot of what Jesus said, I think. So they thought being with him was the best it could be. And I got to say, boy, that would have been cool. Think about that. To have been one of the 12 and to have walked with him on the earth. That would have been pretty amazing. That had to be like crazy neat. But he says, it's better for you if I go, because there's a better connection to me than you can have walking with me. That's amazing to think about. We have it better, according to Jesus' own words, than any of his disciples ever did. Wow. Do you believe that? Because it's hard to believe almost. I'm not going to criticize you. If it's hard for you to believe, I'm not going to criticize you because I've thought of it. I would like to have been there. I would have liked to have seen the dead raised. I would have liked to have seen the lame walk. I would have liked to see the fingers grow back on the people who had leprosy. I would like to see that stuff. And I've seen some things, you know, I've seen some miracles. But the number of miracles that it talks about with Jesus was pretty heavy duty. And every day. And a whole lot. And I can't imagine that they were thinking it would be better if he left, even though he promised it would be better if he left. And we've got it better than them, according to Jesus' own words. That's pretty amazing to think about. Now, let's not forget that John was also the one who wrote, I read from the book of Revelation. So the Gospel of John that I was just reading from, that same John wrote the book of Revelation. So the guy that communicated that God the Father and Jesus aren't just in us, but also with us by the Holy Spirit. I think I said that wrong. This is the same guy. And he's talking about how valuable it is that God will be in us. And in Revelation, he says that the temple and the light of the new Jerusalem are the God the Father and the Lamb. So you have the temple of the new Jerusalem. You have the light of new Jerusalem in you. Same stuff. It's in us. That's pretty amazing to think about, that if we're walking with Christ, he's developing that already in us. I think that the light that is in us will be drawn to the light that is there, and those two can't stay away from each other. They're drawn to each other. I think that the temple that I am is part of the temple that he is and will be for eternity. I'm going to be part of that, and I'm being drawn to it. It draws me by the very nature of what God has created. Jesus said, I am the light of the world in John chapter 8, verse 12. But he also said, you are the light of the world in Matthew 5, verse 14. What he is, he's putting into us. And we're becoming more and more like that. So the scripture tells us that our bodies, by the way, are also the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. You see how all this is connected? So what am I getting at? Well, Jehovah Shammah, Yahweh Shammah, the Lord is present, is already present. He's already dwelling in us. So the issue is not his presence, but the issue is the awareness of his presence. And sometimes we're full of faith. You know, we can come in here and you know, if the music was really good, we didn't have any music today to get us all charged up, but I'm charged up anyway. I didn't need the music. But, you know, if the music was really good and everything was just right and we got to hug the right people, which nobody got to hug anybody today, you know, and you got out here and it's like, yeah, I just felt his presence so much and it was so good. Well, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. You know, the more of us that are here, the stronger his presence is, or the easier maybe it is to feel the strength of his presence in each other. So it makes sense. But we need to remember when things are going haywire. And the world is kind of haywire right now. So if there was ever a time when the people of God need to shine the presence of God to the world, this is it. This is it. This is the time for us to arise and shine. Oh, now I'm back to the reading scripture from Isaiah chapter 60. This is our chance. This is our opportunity. This is when they need us more than ever. And I think I said this last week. It's funny because sometimes when I feel discouraged and then I run into somebody and they tell me, oh, this happened and that happened. And all of a sudden I shift modes and I go into pastor mode. And instead of telling them, oh, hey, you think you had it bad. You know, this is what happened to me this week. I don't do that. I tend to go, well, you know, and I start saying scripture and I walk away from encouraging them more encouraged. This is a wonderful thing that can happen to us because whether we recognize it or not, the presence of God doesn't leave us. He will never leave us or forsake us. So we are vessels that have the presence of God inside of us. And I believe that his presence is growing in the earth because more and more people are being saved every day. You know, there are some reports out there that the church is shrinking. It's not true. The church worldwide, God's people worldwide, is growing. And it's growing in some pretty crazy places. If you just want something interesting, get on YouTube and type in, you know, church in Iran. Watch the stuff that comes up. Wow. It's amazing what's going on in Iran right now. And there are other places where the church is growing. And I believe we may not be growing as fast some seasons as other seasons. I don't know. I think we may be growing faster right now than we've ever grown. In the midst of this pandemic, there might be a lot of people calling upon the name of the Lord and asking for help. And they should. And he's there. So we need to encourage each other and remind each other and look for the presence of God in each other. You know, I see the presence in you. I see the presence in you. That's easy to do some days and not so easy to do other days. Sometimes the reason I don't see the presence in you is because I don't see the presence in me. And so I need to be looking. Now, if it is in his presence that we experience the fullness of joy, because it says that in Psalm 16 and 11, in his presence is fullness of joy, that means you can't get any more than that. that's as much as you're going to get. And at his right hand, pleasures forevermore, it says. I don't know about you, but I want to figure out how to get myself more aware of more of his presence. It just makes sense to me that my joy, my life, it's just going to be better if I can be aware. And I don't want to be like Jacob, who lets the distractions that you're, you know, the circumstances that you're in keep you from seeing the reality that's greater than your circumstances. And that's what Jacob was struggling with. I remember we used to take youth to youth camp. Remember when we used to do that? We just haven't had a camp to connect to for a few years. We used to take the youth to youth camp, and almost every year the same thing would happen. I'd take them to youth camp. They'd get all excited about the Lord. They'd come back on the Sunday after youth camp, and they'd all want to sit in the front rows. Yeah, they would. It's kind of funny. I've seen this in the lives of a lot of people. When we increase in our awareness of God's presence, we tend to become more radical, a little edgier, a little louder, a little bolder, a little more demonstrative. They take risks. John Wimber used to say that faith is spelled R-I-S-K. I want to stir us up today. I want to stir up anybody who's watching via Facebook. I want to encourage us in any way that I can to stir ourselves up, if you will, for the sake of the world right now. What would it look like where you are every day? Maybe you're, most of us are only at home and occasionally the market. You know, got to go get some TP if we can find any. So, you know, we're going places, but what would it look like if we were just a little like the youth when they get back from camp, a little radical when we walk through the aisle? What if we smiled at a lot of people? I smile at a lot of people when I have to go out. I try to smile at everybody. They need some smiles right now. What if we started to experience the freedom of heaven, not just when we gather together, but everywhere we go? It could be awesome for a world that needs it right now. And there are a lot of people who are going to need miracles in the days to come. A lot of financial miracles are going to be needed. So getting heaven in our everyday lives creates a freedom that we carry with us to a world that is desperate for us. What if each of us could give everybody a little taste of heaven? A little taste of heaven. Is there a store here in town called that? A little slice of heaven. Yeah, well, they only have cheesecake. We have so much more to give. And so I just want to encourage us to take this word and just, you know, when things get kind of bad and you're just laying on the ground with a rock under your head, that's what Jacob was doing. He was laying on the ground and he put a rock under his head. But he had an encounter with God that brought him into a place where he recognized the presence of God. Maybe when you're feeling like you're on the ground with a rock under your head this week or next week or whenever, you can kind of just close your eyes and go, oh, I'm where Jacob was, aren't I? Where's that ladder? I need to find a ladder. And pull yourself up and then start pulling others up around you and experience being the house of God for the people who need you to be the house of God. Heaven's inside of you, and it's waiting to get out. Amen? All right, good. I hope I didn't tell my crowd here to do this, but did you all stop by the tables in the back and get a little something, something? Yeah, because it's time for communion. And if you didn't, they're just right back there on the tables. Go grab them real quick. I am so pleased that we can take communion together. And we've got these special ones. Last week, I actually had one pre-poured for me because I wasn't sure. And then this week, I just peeled it ahead of time, got it ready. These are awesome. Actually, I'm not sure who came during the week, but I counted, and we had six people take communion last week, and there were eight of them missing. So somebody came and got communion during the week, and that's cool. If you've got the ability to get in the church, and you can come and just pray, and again, we're doing the social distancing thing, but I'm thankful that we can have some people still praying, and we will begin now. We're beginning to come back. I'm excited about that. The comeback is, I think, starting. So we just need to pray that God will help that comeback. But I do want to remind you that we serve a God, that we love a God who has given a covenant through the blood of his own son and has invited us to be part of that. Now, some people say, well, I have a covenant with God. Actually, Jesus has a covenant with God, and he invites you to be part of that covenant. Because here's the good news. Jesus won't mess his covenant up, but I might mess mine up because I'm required to do certain things in a covenant. And Jesus, he lived his covenant out completely, and then he died, and then he rose from the dead. And so now I walk in newness of life because of what he did. So this isn't about me. This is about him. This is about recognizing that he gave his body for me. This is about realizing that he shed his blood for me. And when I do this and I recognize him, that's a good thing. And I want to remind people, especially if you're watching via Facebook, the way you take this, the Bible talks about taking this in an unworthy manner. The way you take it in an unworthy manner is by not recognizing the body and the blood. Well, what does that mean? It means you don't recognize your need for it. If you think somehow, I took some classes at church and now I get to have this because I deserve it, you missed it. You don't deserve this. You get this because you don't deserve it. And because you recognize you don't deserve it, you take it in a worthy manner. When I think I deserve it, I'm unworthy. When I know I don't, then I'm in trouble. Oh, wait a minute. Did I say that right? Didn't say that right. Yeah. I'll have to look at the video. But if you're at home and you have a little bread and a little juice, any will work. We want to remember what he did for us because he did this for us and we enter into this covenant with him. So hold up the bread. Father, thank you for this body broken for us. I thank you that we can walk in newness of life because of the strength that comes through the new covenant that we have in Christ Jesus. So in the name of Jesus, we receive this together. Let's receive it. And then this blood. Father, thank you. I cannot, through my own strength, stop sin. I cannot stop missing the mark. But Jesus, thank you that you lived a life without sin, entered into a covenant with the Father, and through this blood, I can come into that same covenant and be washed clean and be considered pure and made whole by what you did. So I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let's receive it together. And if you received that this morning out there on Facebook, God bless you. If you were watching by Facebook and you didn't have it, but you want to, after this is all over, you want to go get some juice and a little piece of bread and remember it, that would be good to do. We're going to put some music on that was pre-recorded, I think. Yes, I think it might be last week, the same music we did last week, because this week's had a glitch. I don't know what's wrong with it. But anyway, during the music that follows would be a great time for you to get a little juice and get a little bread and just maybe stand in your home and put your hands out and be thankful. And if you want to get a little radical and you want to dance a little bit, you want to shout a little bit, you want to have a good time in your home, that's all good, especially since nobody's there but you maybe. So nobody will know, except God will know. And as we radically enter into his presence, I believe that he will radically change us so that we'll be more aware of his presence. So if you want joy, maybe you need to jump for it. Anyway, thanks for joining us today. We're glad you were with us, and thank you all for coming. It's good to see your faces. And don't forget, let's continue to social distance when we're done. You're going to get tempted to hug each other because I know you love each other. So hugs look like this right now. This is a hug. Just do that. All right. I'm going to pray over us all, and then we're going to go into the music. Father, thank you. Keep us safe this week. Protect your children from this disease that's running over the earth. Help those who have it, Lord, to recover. Help us to be praying for those who need prayer. And help us to show heaven on earth everywhere we go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.